Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Net at Night is brought to you by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte. Episode 86 for February 4th, 2009. Baby on board. Net at Night is brought to you by Audible. For your free audiobook and a whole lot more, visit audible.com/night, N-I-G-H-T. And by Go to My PC. Wherever you go, access your PC and all your files, programs, and email remotely with Go to My PC. For a free trial of this award-winning service, visit gotomypc.com/night. It's time for Net at Night from Petaluma, California. I'm Leo Laporte.
And from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, I'm Amber MacArthur.
With a stunning revelation.
Stunning revelation.
Yeah.
Yes, Leo, it's taken me a long time to come out and...
Wait a minute. Before you say this, I'm going to have to do an advertisement.
Oh, you're so good.
We're going to really take advantage. We're going to milk this sucker.
You are good.
No, I won't do that. But we should say that coming up, Jeff Smith is with us. The Nashville-based musician, talented guy, singer. He's done a number of great songs, including the I'm a Twit song, which we've played all the time. He's done concerts with Callie Lewis. And, you know, he did the greatest jingles for Mac Break Weekly. You want to hear some of the jingles? Listen to this. This is for Andy Anatko. He did this jingle.
Andy Anatko.
For Alex Lindsay.
Alex Lindsay.
Scott Bourne.
Scott Bourne.
This is me.
La 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 Leo.
Laporte.
Ch-ch-ch-chia.
Don McAllister.
And this is one in case you join us.
And special guest.
Insert name here.
That is hilarious.
He is very talented.
Good.
Yeah, he does wonderful stuff. So we'll talk to Jeff in a little bit about it. What it's like making your way in the music business without a major label, but using community on the internet. You know, I mean, people like Jonathan Colton and Jeff Smith are really an inspiration for us all. Just really
That's
remarkable.
Great.
So you're going to finally come out.
Yes, Leo, I'm not coming out of the closet. I'm coming out because, as you know, and I know you've known for a while, and it's probably time I say something, but I am pregnant.
Yay!
Hey! And the funny thing is that I'm due in 2 weeks.
What?
So,
wait a minute. I'm looking at you. You look completely normal. Where's the baby?
He's right down here, Leo. I know you can't see him.
Oh, you've been hiding a little baby bump all this time.
Yes, I've been hiding him, and I figure I may as well come out and say something now.
Congratulations.
Because, yes, it's getting to the point where, you know, it's
You know what? You
so
fooled
close.
People. I thought by now everybody knew, because literally, she's due in 2 weeks, folks. I thought everybody knew, and everybody in the chat room is going, what? What?
I know. Well, you know, there's part as a woman when you get further down the road, you know, people. I actually had someone email me a couple of weeks ago, and he said, you know, I'm kind of worried about you because it looks like you're gaining some weight. I want to make sure everything's okay. And so I just wrote him back and said, okay, just so you know, I'm not eating donuts every night. It is actually I'm pregnant and very healthy. The baby's due in 2 weeks. In fact, I spent the morning in the hospital because they thought my water broke. But
wow,
looks like I'm good.
Holy cow.
I know. So I'm still good to go, Leo.
And Chris, the father, is a wonderful guy who I met. I didn't know you were pregnant at the time. We met him at New Media Expo in Las Vegas. He shoots Command N for you. He is one of the most talented cameramen, photographers, and editors I've ever met. I mean, just a real and just the sweetest guy.
So yeah, he is.
Yeah, congratulations to both of you. I just think
thank
that's
you so much.
Wonderful.
Yeah, we met. We've been together for about 2 years, so we met at City TV, as you know. He was my cameraman on Web Nation, so it's that stereotypical story about on-air talent and the cameraman getting
together. Well, you spent a lot of time together. It does happen.
Yeah, we spent a ton of time together, and now it looks like we'll be spending a lot more time together.
Oh, if you only knew. Oh, if you only... So, do you know boy, girl? Do you know anything?
It's a boy.
How exciting. Yep. Have you picked a name yet?
Yeah, we're going to call him Connor.
Oh, that's so great. Now, is he going to use your name or Chris's name? What are you going to do there?
Leo, Chris's last name is Dick. we're probably going to hyphenate because just still.
I don't think that's any better. Connor McArthur.
It's not any better. No, it's not any better. But we figured that, you know, when he gets older, if he wants to decide in one or the other, then we can let him decide. But it's not it's not a perfect name to work with.
Just don't name him Richard, I would say, would be the...
No. We don't need a Dick in the family. Although, no offense to Dick DiBartolo, of course.
No, but he's not Dick. He's Dick DiBartolo. There's a difference. Yeah.
We'll call him Connor. He'll be like the prince of babies.
Just Connor. Exactly. What's your name? Connor. Just Connor.
Connor. Just Connor.
Just that's Connor. It. That's all it is. Just Connor. Oh, that's so. It. I'm so happy for you guys. That's
Thank
so exciting.
You.
Now, what does this mean for your career, your work life? What are you going to do?
Well, you know, I plan because I'm kind of a workaholic to not take too much time off. My mom is actually coming up to live with us for at least a month.
Oh,
after the
I bet she month. Is. I bet she's so yeah. excited.
So, I mean, depending on how things go, I think, you know, obviously I'm going to hold off on doing a few things for at least a couple weeks.
Well, we'll give you some time off. Sarah's around and she'd be glad to take over, for as long as you need to have some time off.
Yeah, that was what I was going to ask you earlier on in the show. I was thinking, well, who could fill in for me? And it seems like Sarah would be a great fit if she's available to do it. That would
she
be
is,
awesome.
She is. We actually talked to her about it. I said, I'm not making the offer because it's up to Amber. But I have a feeling Amber might be getting a little busy in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you know, just see how it goes. And that would be really, really helpful.
You know, you could take over Jumping Monkeys and then,
We'll be all over the place. Yeah. But yeah, this is kind of a weird thing, Leo. But one of the reasons I waited so long to tell people is because I'm self-employed and I have so many projects on the go. And I really just felt as though I didn't want anyone to make judgment about what I can and can't do. Right. I wanted to have those decisions to be my own. And because I don't plan to take any huge amount of time off, and I'm very flexible in my schedule because Chris and I work together and we run our own company, I wanted to be in a position where, you know, no one sort of was trying to, you know, take away any work from us necessarily.
Well, has that worked? Everybody's been supportive, I'm sure. I mean, let's face it, those who are working with you in person probably had some idea a little while ago.
Yes. Oh, definitely. But yeah, everyone's been supported. You know, I work closely with the Lavin agency and do speaking events with them. And I had to stop traveling at the end of December. So they've been just absolutely wonderful. Although they keep calling me and, you know, they called me and they're like, okay, can you do an event on February 11th? And I just said, well, I'll say yes, but I might not be there.
So, you might have a baby on Valentine's Day.
I know. I would like that.
Wouldn't
very
that be
much.
Cute?
That would be a lot of fun. Oh, it would make it easy, you know.
Oh, that's great.
Anyway, so that's the big news.
Connor?
O-R.
O-R. That's the Irish spelling.
All right. O-R, yeah.
O-R. Connor McArthur would be a good
it's
name.
Scottish, you're right.
That's right. Connor McArthur. Yeah. I don't know, Chris. I don't know. You might lose your dick on this one. I don't know. Connor
There's
McArthur.
There's so many jokes. I don't even want to begin.
I know. Poor Chris. He grew up with it. He's used to it.
Yeah, he's very used to it. Yeah. So he's got thick skin, that's for sure.
Well, you sent us a ton of links. There's a lot to talk about. I've even got a few wacky things to talk about, including, and I sent it to you yesterday, a new Twitter-style site that doesn't allow 140 characters. It only allows two.
I know. Your email was hilarious. Is this for real?
I'm still confused.
I know.
Well, they give you some suggestions for what you might want to write in your two characters per message. Hey, before we get to Jeff Smith, Amber, I do want to mention our friends at GoToMyPC. GoToMyPC is a fantastic program that makes it really easy to get to your office computer wherever you are, whether it's at home, at the pool, at the airport, at an internet cafe in Timbuktu. All you got to do is go to GoToMyPC.com, log on with your secure username and password, and boom, there's your office PC. Full screen, just like you're there, so you can do all the things you need to do. Whether it's get that PowerPoint slide, those OLAP cubes, the send and receive email, run any program. You can even surf the net securely from anywhere, even the most insecure places. Go to my PC. I'm a big fan, and I've used it for years, but I think it's time that you tried it. That's why I've arranged a 30-day free trial. All you have to do is go to mypc.com/night, N-I-G-H-T. Go to mypc.com/night and give it a try. When you sign up, you get 30 days of unlimited use, chance for you to, you know, if you're traveling the next 30 days, or if you're maybe having a baby, this would be a good time to sign up, put it on your machine so that when you're home or on the road, you can get to your office computer. It's very simple, very easy to set up. Just takes a couple of clicks of the mouse. And once you've got it, you'll be glad to know it's the best. From Citrix, of course, it's the best. Award-winning. There are other remote access products. There are even some free ones, but none of them work as well, as easily, as powerfully as GoToMyPC. The new version 5 is amazing. GoToMyPC.com/night. Give it a try today. I think you'll love it. Let's get Jeff on the line because I really want to talk to Jeff. He's so great. So Jeff Smith, it's great to have you on. And again, I don't know if you heard today on MacBreak Weekly when we played the jingles for everybody.
I shouldn't say what happened. I was actually checking my email while I was driving, and I rushed home and I missed it.
Oh, but that's all right. You weren't there.
So never mind.
Everybody loved it. Everybody flipped their lids.
Awesome.
Yeah. You did a great, great job.
I like to annoy people, so there we go. They're sneaking my way into old school jingles.
So haven't you been doing this for a long time? I became familiar with you after talking with Callie Lewis, because obviously she's a huge fan, but have you been doing jingles for a great length of time?
Well, I've always been mostly performing live, and obviously when iTunes made podcasting like really easy, I just suddenly started listening to like Adam Curry, and he was always taking suggestions from the audience. So I thought, well, I'll make a little song. And I did a little song, and he played it. And of course, gave the MTV intro. It's Jeff Smith, gentlemen. And I remember I was working at a recording studio, and I just like dropped a whole reel of tapes. You know, it was probably Johnny Cash. We're backing up into digital. I happen to have a really cool gig at a studio. That's another story. But I heard that. I'm like, oh my gosh! I'm like, it was like I was on like the Ed Sullivan Show in my mind, because it was like, wow, this is cool. And so I guess that was in 2005, and it started with me just kind of goofing around doing that to actually. People started paying me for it. So.
But you have a bar in Nashville too, right? You have a piano bar.
Yeah, I'm sort of the entertainment manager, and I'm a small partner in it, but mostly I'm just a player. So it's one of these dueling piano bars. It's a very similar concept. There's one I think called Mike X in San Francisco. It's getting pretty popular around the country. Our company's called The Big Bang. So we have four locations, and Nashville is one of them. And I grew up here. So when we found out we were going to open up a Nashville location, I thought, oh, that's perfect. My daughter's starting kindergarten. We can move home, be around mom and dad. And I could finally unpack and set up a studio instead of bopping from town to town, which is what we did for a few years before we moved here.
Well, I saw the studio. I saw the piano bar, because Callie Lewis did a Christmas. Actually, it's her second time now to do a Christmas special with you.
Yeah,
Geek Brief TV, and I watched, and what a great concert it was. The sound was great. The video was great. It was so much fun watching, and I saw the dueling pianos. You brought a lot of great musicians in. I hope that becomes a Christmas tradition.
Well, it's not only a Christmas tradition, because the first year, it started as an accident. The whole Ustream thing was, I was going to write a jingle for a client or something, so I just Twittered, hey, I'm in my studio, I'm going to turn on my webcam, anyone want to watch me goof around? And then Callie Lewis tweeted it, and then all of her followers just came over. So all of a sudden, within like a few minutes time, I had a couple hundred people in the chat room requesting songs, and it became 3 hours of just kind of everyone requesting songs. And so it became a regular thing.
So you do that every week now?
No, I mean, I don't want to commit to it yet, because obviously I'm doing a million other things.
It's a lot of work. Yeah.
And after, you know, the more I do it, the more I want it to look good. And this, the last thing we did recently was, besides the one at Macworld, which is a funny story. The Christmas one, Callie and Neil said, hey, we're going to come to Nashville. We're going to bring all of our HD cameras. We're going to bring the TriCaster. You get on the phone with your ISP and let's see if we can get the bandwidth up. Ustream got involved, and they said, well, let's give them some, you know, some HD looking aspect ratio thing. I don't know what they did, but they were really kind of working really hard to make it look good. And then it suddenly became, well, why don't we invite people? And then it turned into a bit of a charity thing. People donating food for the food bank here. And, it became what it became. And, we kind of had at some point, you know, I think 700 people were all clamoring to hear songs. It's the reason I don't do it so regularly is I'm still trying to figure out how to control the mob. And I know that you, with Stickham and all the, you know, other kind of chat kind of things, you kind of have to have an army of people working with you.
Yeah, we are very lucky. We have a big community that helps out.
I've got a few people. And
well, I'm sure our community would love to come over. You just let us know when you want to do a show, and we'll simulcast it. And that way they'll all be part of your chat.
That would be great.
I'm starting to get, you know, a few little things here. So, you know, cause most of the time I do it from my house, you know, in the living room after my daughter goes to bed, and we're just kind of hanging out, and I turn on a camera and I have one light. So it doesn't look all that pro. But I'm getting a few more lights, and I think I might try to do it once a month, at least see how that goes, because, you know, people show up and they actually click the little PayPal tip jar. So it's like, oh, make it.
Well, it's like really doing a real piano bar. I mean, it's no different from what you do in a piano bar. You take requests, you play music, except that people are all over the world instead of in the same room.
Yeah, and I don't have to wear pants.
I'm going to be watching now for sure.
No, I have to be careful. Sometimes I play the piano with my butt. So.
Wow. I can't miss this next show. So no. You also offer some music on your site that you charge for, right? You can buy some of your music?
Well, I'm a musician like everybody else in Nashville, writing songs and trying to make a living as a writer. So I did self-release a couple of albums. And just the traditional way, you make a CD independently and you get it off a CD Baby, and they hook you up into iTunes. So I went that route. This most recent thing I did, I actually decided to make a subscription version of the album, which I got that inspiration because I started ringtonefeeder.com, which is my ringtone site that I do. That is actually taking over everything else at this point in my life.
This is a really good idea. These are iPhone ringtones that you pay us for a subscription. Go to ringtonefeeder.com. You pay for a subscription. This is something called paid RSS, which until Callie sold the U-Log, I really hadn't heard much about the idea, but I think this is a wonderful idea. Once you've subscribed in iTunes, lets you do it. You enter your password and your login. And then every month I get new ringtones all the time. I just love
every
it.
Every week.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, we have three different subscriptions. We got, you know, by the month, which is $1.98. So as soon as you subscribe, you get 10, the next 10 that are released. So it's like a subscription of a magazine or whatever. So
I have now 10... so many ringtones.
I'm
gonna play us up. This is your mean ringtone. I'll just play a variety of them here.
Your phone is ringing. It's a mean one. They want to reach you before your holiday is done. Given the choice between answering or letting it ring, I'd let it ring.
You did a whole bunch of holiday ringtones. That's
we have, you know, so our main kind of model is the weekly subscription. So after you subscribe each week, you get at least two new ones. And one of them is typically a comedy, something like that, you know, with me singing. And then the other one is a little bit more traditional for the people who are kind of on the fence. Like, well, I think it's great, but what about normal tones? So then, of course, you could subscribe annual, which most people are doing at this point. And then we have the archive access. So you can actually go back and get the ones that we had, you know, maybe 6 months ago that you just now subscribed. You want to go back and get those. So, I mean,
this has become a good business for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a guy who I know is helping me out on the back end stuff.
That I find so interesting is this kind of paid RSS. It's really neat because it means somebody like you can create content and have kind of a continual stream of income from it.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't come up with the idea, but I definitely been around podcasting and just, it's pretty much how I consume my media these days, you know, right. Whether it's, you know, watching TV or listening to stuff, it's pretty much all.
It wouldn't work unless if you weren't as great as you are. I mean, seriously, because, and that's the thing. And that's the key to this is you have to be really good at what you're doing. This is a new one. This is called Nature. I think this is, if I can play.
Oh, you got to turn the sound on there. We have a video that we do each week with the,
there's the sound.
I feel I'll sell you.
I got the end of it, but this is.
Listen, do you hear that? That's the sound of the iPhone in its natural habitat. If you listen very carefully, you can almost hear it saying, "Hey, pick it up. Pick up your phone." Amazing.
You're so talented, Jeff. That's so cool about Jeff. I mean, he's really,
we had an
really
awesome day of weather.
How does ringtone feeder work?
Well, basically, I'm going to stop that. Okay, go ahead.
I'm hearing you everywhere.
I'm sorry. Yeah, we do. I do a weekly video podcast in conjunction with this so that people, you know, because you have to, you know, download it through iTunes. So people want to kind of check it out. So it started with me just like talking about them. And eventually these video podcasts have become like little mini music videos of the actual ringtones. And so I've done one for each ringtone I've ever made. So it's kind of like, The more I say yes to, the more I have to like, oop, I got to book some more time. Oops, time to film the ringtone. So who films a ringtone? But
well, you have a lot of energy, obviously. So that's why, I mean, that's the other side of this is, you know, I think of people like Gary V and you and the people who are really making this fly are Chris Perillo, Justine, Callie and Neil. They work hard. You must work very hard.
I was telling my wife the other day, I was like, man, even on my days off when I'm not doing the other things that I do, I'm, you know, Sunday morning, I wake up and make pancakes. I'm like, oh, ringtones, you know, do this. Or and there's those days where I don't have anything to do and I feel really weird. Like, why am I not doing anything?
You feel lazy, I'm sure. That's what I always feel when I'm not doing anything. Where do you think you get the most traction as far as people becoming fans? Is it through Ustream or the ringtones or the geek community with doing jingles for podcasts?
You know, it's funny. It's like, I have three different lives. The ringtones right now, since we're iPhone centric, it really kind of focuses on the iPhone type of people. And obviously there's not as many iPhone people as there are other things, but the Ustream people are an interesting breed. And the last few shows I did, you know, talking about, you know, having moderators and stuff, like Kevin Rose came the other time, watched the show and brought a whole bunch of people. And then all of a sudden there's, you know, so that spiral of people who I don't even know come in. And it obviously felt like a lot of kids were there at that point. I'm completely rambling from your question, but I think,
okay.
I don't know. It depends. Like, obviously it seems like there's a lot more people watching Ustream, than there are calling me up to get, me to write a jingle for them. But the ringtone, thing is pretty heavy too.
I think what we're really seeing is a complete reinvention of what it means to be a performer or a creator of any kind. And what's really changed, and I think this is what kind of you're sensing, Jeff, is suddenly what becomes important is your audience, your community, and they're with you all the time. They're around you. They're part of you, and it's what you do it for. But unlike just, you know, making an album and then selling it, you have a direct connect and they have a direct connect back. I mean, they're there.
Well, as it is with, you know, when you're doing Twit Live or anything and they're just all those people show up. I mean, these people, obviously you get some crazy people in the chat room or whatever, but
that's
for the most part,
it's great. It's wonderful.
These are fans. These are people that they're showing up for you. And it blows me away still when I sit down there and all of a sudden, you know, and of course I've got a lot of other people really supporting me. You know, Callie and Neil have been like super, like
they're
the super,
fans.
The super fans.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm still scratching my head like, wow, you guys are so awesome. What, you know, what's up with me? I'm just some guy, you know.
They love your music.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny, like we were all at Macworld together, all hanging out. And we just decided to grab a camera and try to do a stream just on the fly at the W Hotel. And then I realized all my moderators were all sitting there with me. I'm like, oh no. There was a moment where there was this sort of kind of political diatribe was going on in the chat room. And I sort of had to stop and go, Hey, we're just having a rock show. Come on, you know? And, it's different when you're in a bar and you got 400 people sitting there like screaming. It's sort of like one entity. When I can actually see individuals, you know, with this chat room and of course with, you know, it's almost like you're looking each little person in the room in their eyes and saying hello and making a connection. They feel that way with you.
So what's your ultimate goal with all of this? I mean, do you like what you're doing in terms of engaging with the online audience, or do you dream one day of going out and just doing live performances?
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I'm taking it as it is. You know, it's obviously, you know, when you go the normal route of trying to get a record deal, you end up having to go on the road a lot and do little shows. And I have a lot of friends here in Nashville who do that and they just, you know, struggle and struggle. And I've got a family and a life that I kind of like the way it is. Although I'm starting to get, you know, the jingle business is starting to get me into, you know, larger projects. I just did one that I can't talk about yet, but it was like one of the, you know, a real big major company hired me to do something. So I kind of would like to even it out. And I perform so much, like four nights a week at the bar. So it's,
wow.
I've been doing that for like 15 years. So it's a little exhausting to always have to stay up till 4 a.m.
How you have one kindergartner and one bigger kid?
No, I just have one. She's in first grade now, Molly. And she's, you know, been in some of my music videos, couple of the ringtones she's actually done the voice for. If you hear pick up or I'll scream, that's her.
I always wonder what kids these days will say about their parents who are engaged in the type of media that we're in the sense that how do you really define what your parents' job is? You know, Leo, for instance, for you and your kids, like what do Henry and Abby say that you do? Because it's not like,
they
oh, he's a
no
lawyer,
clue.
A dentist.
No.
Yeah, it's...
They say he sits in a room all day and talks to himself.
Well, just you wait, Amber. I mean, you'll be amazed how, I'm just boggled at my daughter, how savvy she is. It's just like, you know, she just assumes everything is, you know, push a button and work this. I can only imagine what, is it Connor? What's your son's
yeah,
name?
He's going yeah, to,
I,
yeah, Connor.
yeah, I can only imagine what Connor's going to be like, you know, what the world's going to be like in a year. Hopefully the economy will get better and we'll all have great flying cars. But it's just like, I'm blown away by children. Just they're growing up so fast. And of course, Leo,
I've seen my kids, but see, my kids even are a different generation than you guys. And so, you know, Abby was born in 92. So the internet, the web was 3 years old when she was born, but she did grow up with it, but it's a different, very different time. You know, YouTube wasn't around until she was, you know, 12. It's a very different time for Connor and your kid because the YouTube will have been there and Hulu and all that stuff their whole life. Media is going to be very different for them. It's changing so fast.
Yeah,
it is. And you know, with, you know, going to the YouTube thing, you know, I still haven't really, my daughter hasn't really had too much interest in exploring it by herself. We're very,
no, you shouldn't. She's too young for that. Yeah.
But she's, you know, she's got friends in the neighborhood and, you know, other family, you know, friends that know how to get to some questionable things, and my wife and I are kind of starting to go, well, you know, it's about, you know, another year, and I think we're gonna have to turn on the parental controls.
You know, I tell everybody this, it's opendns.com. just find out about it. It's really put me at peace of mind. Henry can't get to any bad sites in the whole house. You just set up the router with their OpenDNS settings and you say no, you know, block you know, stuff that's inappropriate, and it gives you a real sense of peace of mind. He can't go to any computer in the house and get anywhere weird. Now, of course, out in the real world, he can, and I know he does, but
it's still amazing how that, you know, as much as there's so many, all this cool stuff like the Wii and everything that, you know, I still look out the window and all the kids and my daughter too, they just at some point they have enough of it. They got to get outside.
They should
anyway.
Go outside. Yes.
Yeah. And I'm not pushing her to get off the computer.
No,
it's like, I'm bored. I've done 30 minutes of Webkinz.
It's not as exciting to them as it is to us. It's just part of their life. To us, it's a revolution. To them, it's modern times.
It's the VCR
to
them, yeah. It's so funny. I just got a DVR like today or whatever. I'm so lazy. And for so many years, my daughter's like, pause it, rewind it. I'm like, I can't. This is TV.
She's used to it. She doesn't understand why.
Yeah.
Dad, why can't you pause your TV? What is wrong with you?
But it's funny, you know, like you talk about how our kids are defining their parents. I mean, I've shown up at my daughter's school a couple times and been like the wacky, you know, guy that sings, you know, SpongeBob for the kids. And she's just like borders on the slightly embarrassed thing. And also like the pride thing where everyone else at the school just, your dad is like some kind of rock star. And then we put it up on YouTube and the kids just think it's amazing. And my daughter's just like, oh, it's my dad. Yeah,
exactly. that's the same exact experience. My kids are totally underwhelmed by the whole thing, and their friends will come over and say, oh, I saw that screensavers thing you did about Bilbo Baggins, and Henry, oh God, please, please.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. Get used to it, Amber. You'll get used to it.
Yeah, exactly. So Jeff, you play gigs 4 nights a week. Is that what you said?
Yeah, pretty much on and off. I mean, I get to write the schedule, who shows up what night. So, you know, I'm playing tonight, obviously. Sometimes I'm working a little less. You know, the thing about gigs in Nashville is that they're just all over the place. But the piano bar is a pretty steady thing. I don't have to go out and hustle for gigs. That's one of the good things. One of the minus things is that we just have to sort of be human jukeboxes to the people. But yeah. People like that. And that's kind of always been my bag, is that I've always kind of wanted the show to be a two-way street as opposed to I'm this great musician, come look at me, because I don't feel that I am really worthy of that attention. I'm not like this writer, introspective person, although I do have those moments. But most of the time I tend to be looked at as this, like, you know, people pleaser. But I'm also not like a human carpet either. So we do, I do like to perform a lot because I want to see what's going on in the crowd's eyes. You know, ultimately, it's all about turning the whole room on to a good vibe.
So do you still, I mean, if someone contacted you to do music for their podcast, you still do that type of work?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, obviously, I'm getting better at figuring out how to do this. I never really set up a business where I'm like going out there hustling for jingle gigs. Sometimes I have to sort of grab a few extra people to help me out, fulfill some orders. But, yeah, usually people email me and I have to sort of look at the calendar, right? And of course, now if someone emailed me right now, I'd have to say I'm kind of booked till March, maybe even April.
Awesome.
Yeah, which is great. That's, you know, great. And I don't want to like just suddenly quit one thing, because I'm riding this wave. I can't believe people still want me to write jingles. I can't believe that people are still buying my ringtones. I can't believe that people are still showing up at the bar, you know, and I don't want to like be completely strapped, you know. I mean, I know, you know how I feel, Leo. You do a million things a day, and that's kind of how I feel. But I like it because, you know, one thing takes off and the other one might not, or there might be a season where I'm not doing as many jingles and I got to do something else.
Yeah, no, I want to keep busy. Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's nice if you get bored easily, I think. Like, that's one thing I find, because I do a bunch of different things, that I never get bored because I can always switch from doing one thing to another thing. So I could never go back to doing a job where I sat at a computer for, you know, 8-9 hours a day.
No way.
It's very cool to be able to do this and enjoy it. You know, when you say work, you know, oh, you just want to go, you're having fun in your studio. I'm like, heck yeah, I am. But this is my job too. Why? Well, let's have fun with our jobs. Otherwise, it's, you know, we'll just be, you know, bored.
Give me some advice for young musicians starting out. What should they go? Obviously, I think you don't go and find a record label anymore.
I don't know. I mean, you know, obviously I've never really, I mean, I've actually done a few label things, and I'm actually working on a project that I started years ago that Sony is kind of looking at to do now. It's a thing, a collaboration I did with an old R&B band. I just happened to luck into a lot of those things. So I think when those big label things come along, in my experience and the experience of my friends, I think those are very luck oriented, you know, where you just run into a really big deal. Otherwise, if you just want to make a decent living, and I would say don't sell all your stuff yet and try to release it and get involved in these social networks and
give it away first.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I did with
it's
the jingles.
Nice if you can afford to do that up front.
Yeah. I mean, I right now with the ringtones, you know, I've got a model, you know, in this day and age of web 2.0 stuff, you know, you could create something really awesome, but eventually the revenue model has to exist somehow. So I do feel that there is, you know, people who create music or whatever should, you know, we shouldn't feel bad for asking for something. But I
think that's really important. In fact, one thing I think we've got to get comfortable with perhaps is saying, look, if you want this content, it's not free. I gotta live.
Well, and I sort of, you know, watching all these people start to lower their song downloads for like, you know, 20 cents or whatever. And it seems like, well, instead of lowering your price, why don't you just add more value, which might mean you're doing twice as many things. But, you know, I think that there's that magical 99 cent price point that still seems okay with most people. But, you know, I'm doing that, but I'm also like, well, here's my album for, you know, a couple more bucks than just the regular $9.99. You can get, you know, 20 more weeks of weekly, you know, songs. You know, that seems to be, you know, find some other quote gimmick, I guess, to attract them to make you look different. And that's kind of what I've always been about.
That is one thing that does that. It actually, the more I think about it, that has become really true is that each person is going to have their own path.
And yeah, look, Jonathan Coulton had a really interesting way of doing it. But,
yeah,
you know,
the thing
like,
a week. Which, yeah.
The thing a week. And you know, and then now everyone's, you know, why wouldn't you want to go out and buy this set? It's a great looking set anyways. And what, you know, but
we all really have to find our own path. What works for him doesn't work for you necessarily. What works for Jeff Smith doesn't work for Callie. We all, I mean, you know, people say, can I do what you did, Leo? Not by doing what I did. You have to find your own way.
And nobody is a crazy curly headed freak like me. And that's,
that's good.
We're all unique. So there's no, you know, there's no Metallica route to success anymore. You know, you got to find your own way. But the nice thing is you can be creative and there's a whole lot of different ways to do it.
Yeah. And ultimately you got to really make time for, as my friend says, the you business, you know, like no matter what, if you're working on something, you're working for somebody, always remember that your first job is the you. Like one of my old mentors said, you know, what's the Jeff Smith business? Now, of course, I know the Jeff Smith business is what I'm doing now. But back then when I was working at other jobs, you know, I forgot that ultimately I have to satisfy this individual named Jeff Smith. Otherwise, I'll just be miserable in any kind of job, even if I was successful.
Right, right. Jeff, now, one more thing, and then we're going to let you go. What's your piece of advice for this young woman who's about to have her first child?
Oh, boy. Well, okay.
Oh, boy.
I'm the lucky guy who didn't have to go through all of the stuff that the stuff that's going on in your body, which is amazing. And I watched my wife go through it, and she was a trooper. And I would say make the dad do so much because you'll appreciate it. But I'm obviously,
the best advice is for the dad, which is get off your duff and get in there, there and help out. But it is it's such a life changing experience that you just cannot communicate to anybody.
I learned to not be so prideful to ask for like people to come over and help out.
That's good.
Yeah,
that was a big thing. I think even for my wife too, because we're a bit self sufficient but when we had this baby thing, we had a baby, this creature came out we had a really long she was late and it was we stayed in the hospital and which was quote enjoyable in some ways, but we just couldn't wait to get home and back into the life. So it was like, I wish we would have gone home a couple of days earlier, but we were kind of kicking back and relaxing in the hospital too. But, I immediately got on the phone and said, hey, family members, come over here, come see the baby. And quote, by the way, would you mind doing my laundry?
I think that's good. I hear that asking people to bring food is a good idea as well.
Yeah. Casserole. And I mean, you say you don't want to take too much time off. You want to jump right into work, but and again, each their own, I mean, you might, I think don't overextend yourself too soon.
Yeah, that's good advice as well.
That's really, and I know Amber will not take that advice, but
I know. It's actually funny since my partner is a photographer and videographer. It's hilarious because I think we have the best documentation of this whole experience.
Oh, yeah.
It's nonstop. Every time I turn around, there's a camera on. So it's not like I won't be able to catch any of these moments.
Yeah, Chris is one of the most artistic, talented shooters I've ever seen. I mean, he's remarkable. So yeah.
We read lots of stuff. I mean, like just not just little crazy color books, but I mean, we really got into like reading just to kind of get the kind of brain activity going right from the start.
What books were a good, you mean read to the kid?
Yeah. Like even while she was in the womb,
it's the best thing I ever did was reading to my kid. I wish I still could do it. They won't let me do it anymore, but I did it for the first 12 years. You're right. Starting from zero.
And, played music, it's a bit cliche, but we did this sort of, little Einstein thing with, they really respond to music and the colors and the stuff. And I don't know what, maybe just it's all a pile of everything together that made my daughter who she is, but she's such a brilliant little girl and she's an advanced everything and she could be president. So, I do think we had a hand in that by being very hands-on with just trying to get her brain working from the minute she came out.
That's wonderful.
That's Jeff, awesome.
It's exciting. That's good luck to you. That's going to be so great.
Isn't it
Thanks
neat?
So much.
Yeah. And we thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks.
Have fun at your show tonight.
Oh, yeah. It's actually getting cold. I'm hoping it doesn't snow because nobody goes out in Nashville when it snows.
You've been having the worst weather. Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's up and down, but it's February in Tennessee. So it'll be
that's
nice.
Not unusual to have snow?
We have not a lot of snow. Like it'll snow and then it'll melt the next day.
The Kentucky's just terrible right now.
We have some bad roads from time to time. But it's us Southern people, we don't have snow tires.
Right,
we don't
really,
and I live like in the hills. So like kind of west of town. So like once you get out here, I kind of wish I had snow tires. I don't need them maybe 1 week out of the year, but when that week comes, I have to walk up the hill to my house. It's kind of,
great to talk to you, Jeff.
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for those great jingles. By the way, this Andy Anatko, we just flipped over, and I really think that it deserves to be a full-flown song at some point. And just listen to this. It's just so good.
Andy Anatko.
It's so, I just love it. And we play the special guest.
And special guest.
Insert name here.
All the time. I'm going to play.
Okay, I'll make a baby song.
Ha,
Oh, yeah. He's got his guitar. See, I'm so jealous.
Amber's having a baby. It's gonna be real cool. Ooh, ooh. Amber's having a baby. Baby's gonna take Amber to school.
Very nice.
Not that good.
I will play at the end of the song the great I'm a Twit, which is about my favorite song ever that anybody's ever done about Twit.
I need to do a new version to add more people. I could only fit so many people in.
You got all, everybody I care about in there.
Oh, I didn't get Amber in there.
Yeah, you didn't. Oh, we need an Amber MacArthur.
I'll have to redo it.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks so much, guys. Jeff.
Have a great evening.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
TheJeffSmith.com. TheJeffSmith.com. And don't forget RingtoneFeeder.com. That's where you can get the ringtones. Ringtones every week. It's really kind of fun.
That's very cool. I wish I could sing like that, you know, Leo? Just pick up a guitar and start singing.
Wouldn't that be cool? Just pick, you know, play. I keep telling my son, just keep practicing that guitar because, you know, he wants to become a professional musician, which is great. But even if you don't, the ability to do that at a drop of a hat, it livens up a room.
It just does. It does. It does. So, Leo, we have a lot of links.
How do you find time to do this? Aren't you having a baby or something?
I don't know. You know what's really weird is people keep telling me, they're like, don't do anything. Just go home and do nothing. And I'm like, I can't just go home and do nothing.
That's not me, she says.
It's just not me. You know, I need to do something. I need to keep busy. And otherwise, I think I'd go crazy. I would just sit at home and get depressed. And, yeah. You know, I mean, I think it's different, though, Leo. I mean, you can understand this, too, working on your own and being self-employed. It's like I manage my own hours. So right. if I need to take breaks here and there, then I do it. If I need to work late one night, I do it. We have our own office/studio that's a 5-minute walk from my house. Like, it's a really nice setup to be able to kind of manage your time so you don't feel overwhelmed. So for me, it doesn't feel like a really big deal. And I like to still stay engaged in all of this stuff, of course.
Well, that is really the advantage. If you're doing it yourself, you are totally in control of your schedule. And so, you know, there are times it's wonderful to have something to do besides think about the baby.
Yeah.
As long as you can do it on your schedule, it works fine. But the problem is people who have 9-to-5 jobs is very difficult.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. I think, you know, if I were still working as a daily news reporter at City TV, it would be very difficult. Couldn't because it's one of the, you know, one of those things where you're exhausted because you're all day long kind of in one place. You can't get anything done. So whereas now, if I need to take a little break and go do something to get ready for the baby being born, I can take those breaks and then I come back and I work. If I want to work at night, I can, you know, just it's the flexibility that I think is just, awesome. I mean, I'm so happy to be in this position, so I feel very fortunate.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk about the Forbes top 25, because you make a very interesting observation. There's only one woman on this list.
Oh my gosh, this was crazy. So I was going to the Web Celeb list from Forbes magazine, and I was actually looking for your name, because I know you've been on it before, and you are there. You're
just by the
25.
Skin of my teeth on the last one on it.
Oh, it's perfect. So you're on the list, but it was so funny because I went down the list and there's only one woman out of 25 web celebrities on this list. And I was actually kind of shocked.
Deuce,
you know,
Deuce is the only, Heather Armstrong, Deuce, the blogger, is the only one.
One.
It's very blogger heavy, and which is surprising because there are a ton of very, very good women bloggers. There might be more women bloggers than are men bloggers, but I don't know if that's an oversight or if it shows kind of a deep-seated sexism. It's not a great list. Great list.
Well, it was funny because I had sent the email out in terms of what we were going to talk about tonight, and Dane wrote me back and he sent me a link to Fast Company, who had written an article about the most influential women in technology who are bloggers. And it's interesting because you see iJustine, you see Heather Armstrong, Arianna Huffington, what is it, Jeannie Jardin from Boing Boing.
Jeannie fell off the list. She was on last year, yeah.
Yeah, and Gina from Lifehacker. I mean, there's so many people that I could see on that list. So I was just surprised. I feel like you don't see that a lot these days, you know, when you get a list of literally.
Hey, it's Forbes. It's the old white men anyway. True. It's Forbes. And this list was, frankly, a joke. And even though I'm on it, but it's also the notion that you could do this even as a joke. There aren't 25 top web celebs. That's ridiculous. Yeah, it's link bait. It's link bait of the worst kind, you know?
Yeah.
Which means I won't be on it next year. I mocked it. Yeah, I was on it 2 years ago. It was number 17. Mocked it then. Wasn't on it that following year. I guess that was my punishment. They're not going to put me on.
They're trying to get rid of you, Leo.
Well, it's interesting to see John on there because Dvorak, I mean, has really turned himself into a web celeb. I don't think he was, but between his blog and his 18 podcasts, he's really turned himself into one.
And he's pretty active on Twitter as well.
For somebody who thought Twitter was a joke.
I know. That's why I was surprised. I went to his Twitter account just the other day and I thought, I didn't think he was using Twitter at all. I thought he hated it. So
no.
I was surprised to see he's got a ton of followers.
I know we talk a lot about Twitter, but I have to say that I think Twitter is turning the mainstream corner right about now. You know, you saw somebody like Stephen Fry talk about Twitter on the BBC in Britain and suddenly go from 15,000 followers to well over 100,000 followers in just 2 weeks.
What?
He is now number three after Barack Obama, CNN, Stephen Fry's number three, then Kevin Rose, then me, then Twitter. Mr. Tweet is doing very well because you have to follow Mr. Tweet to get the recommendations.
Oh, yes.
Veronica, Ev, Guy Kawasaki. But the most important story to me about Twitter is the celebrities have arrived.
I know. I saw Demi Moore's
tweet. Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher. And this is not the PR flax publishing tweets like it was for Britney Spears. It's Demi Moore.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there watching the Super Bowl, seeing Mrs. Kutcher's comments. That's what she calls herself, by the way, on Twitter. And A plus K, A-P-L-U-S-K is Ashton Kutcher. I also just recently found out that about the entire porn star industry, porn industry is on Twitter. There's a whole subculture. And this is what's going to happen that's kind of interesting at Twitter. It was when it was smaller, and Twitter Army's like this. When it's smaller, it's one community. It is fragmenting rapidly now. So you could have a group like porn stars on there. They all know each other. They all follow each other. You wouldn't even know they exist.
Yeah.
And I saw an article, and I saw a list of all of these porn stars who are on there, and they're all tweeting away.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, no one. But I think that's what's starting to happen. This is now really mainstream. Everybody's going to be on here soon.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I feel like it's really changed in the past few months. But I think it's neat. I mean, it's fun to watch these tools evolve.
No kidding. And I kind of poo-pooed it. I thought Twitter was kind of a toy until very recently, and it's becoming clear it's not. For instance, you know, this is when Google was down this week. Was that wild?
Oh, I know. It's so funny. I was offline because my mom was in town just for the weekend. And I was offline for a day. And I wrote on Twitter, I said, has anything happened today? And people are like, Google just went down. Nothing,
was
nothing
down
too
for an
big.
Hour, telling everybody it was a spyware. They were spyware sites. But I found out about that because I got up. First thing I do is not check Google or check, you know, my stuff is I check Twitter. And right there it says, Leo, there's a message to me. Leo, twit.tv is being shown as spyware on Google. I went, oh, no. And I Googled it, but then I noticed every search result was being flagged as spyware, including Google.com. So, but I watched the Super Bowl on Twitter, and I watched people react to the Super Bowl and the Super Bowl commercials on Twitter. I mean, this is where you go if you want to kind of see what people are talking about.
I know. I totally agree. I was thinking, I don't know if there's so many different sites out there that allow you to find out different things from Twitter, from the top people on Twitter, to who's following you. But I thought it would be interesting to have a site where you could find out the most talked about subject on Twitter within a certain time frame. Now, I only thought about this because I was off Twitter for like 24 hours, and I'd love to go to a site and just plug in from this time to this time I was offline. What is, you know, the hottest topics during that
period?
That's
a good idea. That's what Track is kind of all about. And, you know, I use Twitter tools like Twirl, TweetDeck, TweetE on the iPhone, all of which will tell you what the hot topics are. So it's very quick to go and see, well, what subject matter is being tweeted about the most? And that's very useful as well.
Yeah, to have a time frame attached to it would be kind of cool, too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're going to see a lot. I think we're going to see a lot of tools. And we'll probably see somebody supersede Twitter in this space, but maybe not. Twitter is now like Facebook. It just kind of has such a critical mass that it's kind of
definitely. So, are we ready for the next story? Or
I'm mad at myself. I'm mad at myself because I got an invitation to go to this event, the Google Earth event yesterday.
Oh.
And I blew it off. The new California Academy of Sciences, which is supposed to be stunning, in San Francisco's Golden Gate Park. Google had an event there yesterday at 10.
I thought,
it's my day off. I thought, I don't really feel like driving in. Al Gore speaks, Dr. Sylvia Earle.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, just amazing. Yeah. just amazing stuff. And it's like Ted North. And they announced the new Google Earth.
Yes, it's very cool. So now you can actually explore the ocean in the new Google Earth, which looks really, really neat. They have a just a video up on their blog right now, and I got a press release from Google yesterday as well. But that event sounds fantastic.
I'm so stupid.
Oh.
I thought, if it had been Apple, of course I would have been there. And I have to live and learn, you know, when Google calls,
yeah,
you come a running.
Well, I think the problem, I mean, I have this problem to a certain extent, is when I get press releases, I almost dismiss most of them because you get so many, so you can't really wait what's going to be the most interesting at times.
Right.
So it seems like one of those things. But
you also have they have historical data, like you can see how things have evolved, and it's real. Google Earth has really become an interesting tool.
Yep, and 3D Mars as well. So
isn't that neat?
That's very cool.
I love that.
I know. I love that. So another cool launch from Google.
Skype 4 just came out, I saw, for the Windows side. We're still at 2.8 on the Mac, but
I know. And you know what? I haven't had a chance. I don't have a Windows computer, so I haven't had a chance to test it out. But supposedly, it's supposed to have better audio, which is great. And Leo, I wanted to ask you something. I don't know if you know this, but I, the other day, just coincidentally, was at home. I had the TV on, and Oprah was in the background. And she was doing, like, Skype interview after Skype interview after Skype interview. And I turned it up, and the quality was amazing. And I can't figure out if she's sending a crew out people's houses and lighting them.
Yes.
She must be, because it was absolutely
I had the
phenomenal.
Same reaction when I saw it. It looks like TV. How are they doing that?
How are they
and
doing
I guarantee
it?
You that when they do it, they send a crew out with lights, with good cameras, and they make sure the bandwidth is superb.
They must. Yeah. I mean, it's funny because one of the chats, which is at the point I knew, okay, they're actually using Skype, you could tell it was a little bit pixelated in one of the people's homes, but the rest of them were just absolutely amazing. I just thought, oh gosh, if it ever gets to this quality, that would be fantastic.
Well, I think it's where we're headed as more and more people have high-speed internet, high quality. We're able to use, we're on Skype right now. We use Skype for almost all of our podcast production. We're using it more and more. And the video looks great. I mean, I would say that's pretty darn good video we're getting. And you're using a professional camera, right?
No, I'm using actually I have used a professional camera before, but I'm just using the iSight now on a new iMac.
Really?
Yeah.
It looks good. I mean, I think when you have a camcorder, when you just get a better camera, the video can really look almost as good as the real thing. It's pretty amazing.
Well, what I couldn't figure out, though, with the Skype interviews that Oprah was doing, I couldn't figure out how they were doing the audio. I was literally up to the TV with looking at mics and everything.
Because, right. We always did, we use phone audio. We never would use Skype audio.
And I've done the same thing when I was working at City TV and even now with CB24. I will oftentimes use just a telephone to do the audio because there's no lag there. But I couldn't figure out how they were.
You don't get good lip sync when you do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it was interesting. It's kind of I can't wait to see where Skype is in, you know, a year down the road.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. It's mind-boggling. And I'm so grateful for it because without Skype, I wouldn't have a network here. I mean, this is all Skype. I keep waiting for them to come and ask me for money. We want 20% of your business. You wouldn't have a business without us, baby.
Hopefully
actually, speaking of business,
happen.
We had a little shock this morning. QuickBooks Online wasn't working.
I know, and that's our next story on the list, but you can tell me more about that, because Dane sent me an email and said, hey, this is a good story, because lots of companies use QuickBooks, and it had a huge impact on a lot of organizations.
They have a Twitter account. It's Sharn, Sharn, QuickBooks, and she says 10 minutes ago, back online. Whoa. I mean, we use QuickBooks Online because our accountant can then use it. Our bookkeeper can then use it without coming into our offices. Dane and Frederic, our office manager, can use it. So it really is a good solution for us. It also is always up to date. It's kind of cheaper than buying QuickBooks. You pay a monthly fee, but it's always up to date, and it just seems simpler. But boy, I'll tell you, when something like that goes down, it sends a chill up your spine. I mean, if we were doing payroll today, we would have had to wait until QuickBooks came back.
Yeah, that's not good. Yeah. I find it interesting, though, how a lot of the PR people for different organizations are going on sites like Twitter, and they're trying to keep people updated. It's such a great customer service tool in sense, if they can do a good job of that.
I'm really starting to come around to a whole new way of thinking about how business works. And it's something, frankly, that Clue Train Manifesto wrote about 10 years ago, but it's really manifesting now. Well, we have a sponsor on the radio show, Carbonite.com, that really got a black eye. David Pogue wrote a column about them in the New York Times. I think it might have only been online, but it certainly made the rounds. Two of their employees had written glowing reviews of the service in 2006 on Amazon. Now, of course, that's not done. They didn't hide their name or hide their identity, but they didn't say one guy wrote the program. The other guy was a marketing director. They didn't say that. They just wrote glowing reviews. Yeah. Now, they learned their lesson. In fact, Carbonite sent me a note immediately saying, they didn't know any better. We immediately made a company policy that this is forbidden. You may not do this. It hasn't happened again. It was two isolated incidents. So here's a case where you've got a big PR nightmare. And I got a lot of people Twittering me saying, what's going on? And I wrote back to the CEO. I said, this is an opportunity for you as a company. This is a great opportunity for you to work on transparency, on communication with your customers. They created a Twitter account immediately so they could do that. I think every company now needs to be on the social networks. They need to. I suggested Get Satisfaction. Sign up for a Get Satisfaction account, because people sometimes complain about your tech support. Here's a chance for them to complain constructively and for you to respond so that people know you care.
Yeah.
And I think as a business now, you're no longer... We've really gone from a situation where businesses are out there trying to kind of coerce people into using their services, trick them with ads, branding, and all that stuff. And it really comes down to a much more honest conversation with your potential customers. This is what we offer. We're available. We're here for you. We care about you. Let's work together to succeed. That message is much more important nowadays.
Yeah, I would totally agree. I think people are going to expect that, especially a younger generation. As they grow up, they'll expect to be able to have conversations with companies that they buy products from. I think it will just be a given that I should be able to reach out in some way. They won't, necessarily put up with being on the phone and press one if you have this problem.
They demand it. They're going to demand it, and they're not going to do business with you if you do that. They're going to say, you have got to relate to me. And this is so funny. This is exactly what Clue Train said. It said, the manifesto has, I think, 100 rules. Item one, markets are conversations. It said it knew 10 years ago, David Weinberger and Doc Searls and the guys who wrote this knew that the new internet era e-commerce was going to require that businesses come clean and stop being opaque and start communicating and start participating in their markets. And I think that's so great.
I think it's fantastic. Although, ironically, I've been trying to get in touch with Twitter support and have not heard back from them yet. Because I've been trying to see if I can snap up Amber Mac as a username.
Oh, yeah.
But someone has it. They're just sitting on it.
Go to Get Satisfaction. I think I think we want to start using it for... Dane's been wanting to do this for Twit for a while. I think it's a great idea. GetSatisfaction.com. And they call it people-powered customer service. It's basically a social network for companies. Big companies are using it, too, to communicate with their users. So the user will go here as a social network to post something. This is not working. You guys suck. And the company, it's the company's account. So they participate. And you see, it's Adobe. Twitter's on here. Apple.
Yeah.
BBC, Whole Foods. And it says 26 employees are here from Timbuktu. 13 Dell employees are here. This is a social network for customer service. It's a brilliant idea.
It is a really great idea. Very cool. So, Leo, we have a couple more links, but this one is just in time for Valentine's Day. As we know, Valentine's Day is just over a week away, and we always talk about Animoto because they have some really cool features that allow you to create very interesting kind of multimedia slideshows with music and your photos. So they've just launched their perfect last-minute Valentine's gift. So the idea is you can go there and create your own little movie that has pictures in it that you can send off for Valentine's Day. So if anyone needs a quick bookmark to keep track of Valentine's Day multimedia cards that they need to send out, that's a good option.
One of the things I love Animoto. I made Animoto movies with both my last two big trips, the Egypt trip and the France trip, and it really came out fun. But they're a little jazzy and fast paced and stuff. They've now slowed it down, which is great. You mentioned that a couple of weeks ago, and I think that makes a big difference. What do you think of the Animo? You like the Animoto videos? I mean, gosh, when I look at what Chris does, for instance, what can be done by hand is so good.
You know what? I agree with you. I mean, if you have the skills to be able to do something on your own, it's always better. But I'm just not convinced that people have time or know-how. Right. So I love recommending tools that are very easy to use as far as uploading pictures.
Couldn't it be easy. Just say, get my pictures and make it.
That's it. And, you know, we talked about JibJab before we had them on the show. And that's another site that just makes it so easy to upload pictures and put people in these great little movies. So, I don't think it's perfect for the person who has the skills to do it their own way. But I think it's a good alternative for people to get them comfortable with some of these different types of technologies.
Very cool. I agree with you. You could maybe do it better by hand, but who has time? So just go for it.
Exactly.
Use Animoto. And I have to say, I get great feedback on my Animoto. The other thing is that sometimes I want to see the pictures more. But then I always link to SmugMug and you say, you know, okay, there's the video. You want to actually see the pictures up close? Here's where you can see the pictures up close.
That's because we're geeks, though. We always want more functionality. I mean, sometimes I just look at these different websites and I think, why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? And
more.
I want more, you know? And I think that's just inherent in us kind of pushing all the time as early adopters to be able to get more functionality out of these sites. We probably drive people crazy, Leo.
Right. Before we get to our podcast of the week, because we like to mention every week a great podcast, I do want to mention our friends at audible.com. We've got two great Audible deals for you. Of course, the traditional Audible book deal where you go to audible.com/night, sign up today and get a credit toward a free book. And there's so many great books. Now, I sent you a link. Did that work?
Yes, Leo, it worked. I just got it working. And so I have to start downloading some books. It did work.
Yay. So what do you think your first Audible book is? Have you started to look? I think What to Expect When You're Expecting might be good.
Oh, I have all of those.
Actually,
those
it's too late.
Red.
It's over. It's What to Expect When You Have the Baby.
I have that one, too.
What to Expect in the First Year. We used both of those. They were really, really good.
Yeah, they're great. There's so many books.
Let me see what baby books. You don't want a baby book. Audible is good for a new mom because there's times when you're up in the middle of the night or, you would like to relax and read, but you're holding the baby. How are you going to hold a book? Audible.com is such a great choice. How about Living on Baby Time?
That sounds good.
New Mom's Guides. That's a good one. There's also one thing I want to mention. There are great Audible Kids books, too. They have a whole Audible Kids site full of books for kids. So if you're tired of reading the baby over and over, you can always put a book on and it'll soothe them. There are so many wonderful things. Audible is a parent's delight as well as a listener's delight. 51,000 plus books growing all the time. Right now, short story week with inexpensive or free short stories. In fact, this one, the Kurt Vonnegut book, The Kid Nobody Could Handle, is free this week. This is why you got to be an Audible member. There are all sorts of benefits. And in fact, if you're a member, we still have, through the 15th of February, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. You can get that for free by going audible.com/twithabits, TWITHABITS. Or as I said, audible.com/night, a great place to go to sign up for audible.com. Please do yourself a favor, whether you're a new mom or just you got a commute from hell. Either way, Audible saves your life. audible.com/night. We thank them so much for their support of Net at Night. Podcast of the week.
All right. So for our podcast of the week, I actually have two links here because I'm going to recommend something else aside from this podcast. But this is from a listener, and Glenn the Geek, and he manages the Horse Radio Network, which is a series of podcasts. They do three different podcasts that are all about horseback riding, the equestrian games that are coming to the USA for the first time in 2010. So he really has this little network, including a show called Stable Scoop.
And
I know it seems that he learned a lot just from Net at Night, and he's starting his own twit for horses.
I think that's brilliant. I think that's the way you have to do it. You have to aggregate. You can't just have one show, you know, you have to have other shows. Good for him. And I think especially to focus on one niche, and the narrower, the better, don't you think?
Oh, I think so too. And he even recognizes that in the email that he sent off to it. He's trying to be very niche with his content. And so I think the idea, you're right, that he has three shows is just a bigger draw, because you can go there and listen to different types of shows, but they're all based on the you know, on all on horses. So it's just one one theme. So you can find him at horseradionetwork.com. And he has a really nice website as well.
Very cool. All right. That's one. You said there were two.
I have another one. Yes, I have another one. And this is, okay, Chris has been bugging me forever. He's like, can't this be the podcast of the week? And I'm like, I don't really think I can take this podcast to be the podcast of the week. But his favorite podcast. And so I started watching it. And I have to say, this is one of my favorite video podcasts out there. It's called GrandUnifiedWeekly.com. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but if you have a chance, you should just go there. So GrandUnifiedWeekly.com.
Oh, it's a science podcast.
It's a science video podcast. Now, it used to be called The Monitor, and I'm not sure if we've ever talked about it on the show, but I've used it in my presentations before.
That sounds familiar, yeah.
It does. So now they do this for, I think, Slate.com. But the cool thing about this video podcast, which I think people should watch it for this one reason, is that it really gives you a sense of how you can do a video podcast in a, it's not easier, but it's a different type of video podcast. If you just watch one of their recent episodes, you can tell that they're using the desktop as really the visual part of the podcast. So you, in the little corner, you have the host who is in his own little window, just like an iChat window. And then he's bringing up different things like videos and pictures and websites as he talks throughout the podcast. It's so well produced, but it's literally someone sitting at their computer and doing the podcast. So
wow.
I know
that just shows you don't need to have a whole lot of equipment and fancy gear to do it.
Yeah, so GrandUnifiedWeekly.com. So it's a weekly science news roundup. Leo, I have to make you watch it at some point, because you're going to think it's very cool.
Well, we're thinking about, you know, I'm talking with Dr. Kiki about doing a science podcast on Twit.
Oh, awesome.
And what I want to do is something that was kind of like Security Now and the other in-depth shows we do, where you take a subject and you just really drill down. And, and Kirsten is really great at explaining science. So I thought I'd have what we do is she and I would sit down and say, okay, Large Hadron Collider, what it's all about, what is it all about? What does it do? Now let's bring on an expert, a scientist who's working with it to, you know, and then you'll kind of have the setup, but then the scientist gets really down and geeky with it. I like doing really geeky stuff, you know?
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a really good idea. I think, science is such a natural extension, I think, for people who are interested in technology.
I agree. And I think we want to really promote science education and all that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Well, Amber,
so those are the two picks.
This was a momentous day, the day the truth finally came out.
I know. It's good. I'm glad that I got to share this on Twit, on Net at Night, Leo. The first time I've publicly announced it. So
thank you. Well, everybody is wishing you all the best. We hope you'll be here next week. She's due in 2 weeks, folks.
Yeah, 2 weeks. So I should be here next week.
February 17th?
A couple of days after that, but okay. Generally 2 weeks. And I think the doctor is pretty sure that it won't be longer than that.
Oh, really? Yeah. They thought maybe it was today. Yeah, because we were a week late. We were a week late. We had they could say, well, come on now. We're going to get going here. So, sometime in February, you're going to have a little Connor.
I will make sure to let you know.
We'll have to add Connor's name to I'm a Twit. That's all there is to it.
True.
Amber MacArthur, thank you so much. Congratulations to you. And we'll see you next week on Net at Night.
Going down another rat hole. I didn't mean to. Seems like we've lost control, but that's the way it goes. Another day with Leo. And then again, just watch your back. Oh, Johnny C, get us back on track. And if I feel a bit spunky, I'm just another jumping monkey. I know everything to do with it. I'm on the inside, yeah, I'm a twit. And if I miss one, I have a fit, yeah. I'm a twit, I'm a twit. So what's the pick of the week? Just let me know, just let this geek to the future, make an exception for this user. I know everything to do with it. I'm on the inside, yeah, I'm a twit. And if I miss one, I have a fit. I'm a twit, yeah, I'm a twit. It's Kevin, Molly, Patrick, Andy, Scott, Will, and Callie.
seems like we've lost control, but that's the way it goes. Another day with Leo. Yeah.